Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Welcome into the house of God. God is doing such a wonderful thing in our land, throughout our land, and you know, we're following the revival, but the greatest revival will always be the one that's in our heart. I appreciate all of the choir. We're definitely not the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, but we are the family choir. We're close enough. We're good enough, because you know what? We love Jesus. And you know, as Tony was singing that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, all I could think of is that should be our heart's cry, to give us a closer walk with Thee. I want to announce that Sister Debbie Ramos is going to be preparing a meal next Sunday for every one of you. We would like to be at the celebration meal. All of you help during Pastor Gill's funeral, and she wants to do this in honor of him and in celebration of you. So please join us after service downstairs in the fellowship hall for that. Also tonight, I am going to be sharing a message called Coming Out of Egypt. And, you know, the thing is this, is it getting out of bondage in Egypt is the easy part. Getting Egypt out of you and I is the hard part. And that's what I'm going to be ministering on tonight. And I believe God's gave me a word. In fact, I'm going to be telling a very powerful story and a very humbling story that's my story, about a dress and a bottle of perfume, and it will hit your heart for sure. So if you'd like to join us tonight, I'm also going to be talking about the revival tonight. Please do so. So much is going on, Pastor Ken, and our message today is I choose Jesus basically because he chose me. And our scripture is found in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you would go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit would remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'm going to do it for you. And God chose us. You know, I was thinking about revival and so many things, and something that I posted online early this morning was this. God can choose to use whomever he wants without consulting you. I don't care. Let me break it down for you. If God wanted to start a revival and let Barb lead that revival, he don't have to consult you at all. If God wants to put Carmen on a stage somewhere and let her preach the gospel message and lay hands on the sick and they be healed like Catherine Coleman, he doesn't have to consult you. God does the choosing. But here's the exciting news. I mentioned two names. He's chose each and every one of us. He's chose you. And so we're going to talk today about God choosing us and our own life choices. It's going to be a little bit practical, Pastor Ken. Don't you think it's a little practical message?
It's very practical. It's very practical. And I was thinking about the garden when you were talking, Pam, that Satan was also there saying, don't choose God, choose me. God's withholding things from you. God hasn't blessed you. God hasn't given you wisdom. God knows if you disobey his law that you'll be wise and you'll be amazing. So there's always that choice before us, life or death, heaven or hell, God or Satan. And I'll say this about choice, Pam. There's no such thing as not making a choice. If we don't choose Jesus, then we've rejected Jesus, those that are not for him or against him. And it's just this simple. If we acknowledge him before man, Pam, then he'll acknowledge us before the Father. Yes. Were you finished with your first part? Okay.
We're created by God in the likeness and image of God, and that means we're created to look like God and to act like God. We should look. When people hear your voice, they should hear the voice of God. Have I heard the audible voice of God? Yes and no. I can't say that I heard God's voice from heaven, but I've heard God's voice many times speaking through you. You know how? Because God created your voice, and when I hear it, I can hear from God if you speak the right words. We were created to be the family of God, but the fact is that God chose us, and he chose us to love us. That's the primary reason. He chose us. Do you know how super, I'm not going to get into a biology lesson here, but do you know what a supernatural thing it is that you made it here to earth? That in your mother's womb, that you have part of your father, part of, let me tell you, it's a supernatural miracle. I seen an interview, it was between Oprah Winfrey, just yesterday, Oprah Winfrey and Maya Angelou. And here's what Maya Angelou was saying. A friend of hers told her, said, God loves you. He said, God loves me. And he asked Maya, he said, I want you to say it. God loves me. And so she sat there, and this is Oprah now. She's telling the story to Oprah, and she said, God loves me. And he said, now say it again. God loves me. And he said, say it very, very slow. And even as she was recounting what happened to Oprah Winfrey, she started weeping and said, God loves me. And she put her hands in her face and she said, never in my life could I imagine, as I said it, it just came alive to me that God loves me. And so I would say to you today, the fact that God loves me and God has chosen me is amazing. That's just amazing. When he could choose anyone else, he chose me and he chose you for something very, very specific, and that is to love him and honor him. What an awesome supernatural miracle that is. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. If the God of the universe who died for me would choose me, I need to choose him.
Think of Christianity the way the Bible does, as a marriage proposal. That in the Old Testament, will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? Will you be? And I like marriage proposals because it's never, you're going to marry me. It's never, I've chosen you. What was that? Something outside. Okay. So when you ask someone, will you marry me? There's that choice. It's a choice from both parties. I love the beginning of that song, I am weak, but thou art strong, because that needs to be a revelation in our life. Boy, do I feel that. I think I've got that one down, that I'm weak, that without God, I'm nothing. I do have a revelation of that. Pam, I wish I had that higher revelation, and it is a higher revelation to say, I just realized God loves me. That sounds so simple, but there's so many layers to that, to realize that the creator of everything knows your name and cares about you. This is all about free will. Now, I want to read you a scripture that you've heard before, but I promise you there's something in here that I bet you've never seen. So see if you can hear what you've never heard before. Now, therefore, fear the, this is Joshua. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in all sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I'm just going to go right to the answer. What is it in there that maybe you've never heard or thought of before? Listen to this. I never really paid attention to this. If it's evil to serve the Lord, then don't serve him. I love Joshua saying that. Okay, because people, when you bring up Jesus or God, they've got it in their back pocket. It's on a 3x5 index cards. My problem with God, my problem with Jesus, my problem with Christianity. And they're telling you all the reasons. So what Joshua is saying, everyone that's got a problem with God, everyone that's got a problem with Jesus, if he's evil, don't serve him. Okay, I gotcha. You're saying God hasn't been good to you. You're saying, like Satan, that God's withheld things for you. Then by all means, if you found something better, then turn away from God. Because if you have a... But I like that. Yeah. What and it reminds me of the New Testament. What has he done that we're going to crucify him? I find no fault in this man. What fault do we find in Jesus that we would put our mouth against him and say, you've done this? So we have to decide. I like that. The choice is heaven or hell. The choice is the most important choice. It is our entire, and you're talking about free will, and Pam wrote this about free will. She's going on and on about free will. And I know I've said this before, but this just fascinates me. I have watched lots of physics videos on how the universe works and that the laws of gravity, the laws can be reduced to mathematical formulas. And here's what I have discovered. With one exception, everything in this universe obeys the laws of God. I don't know, but you can go on a website today if you wanted to and say, I want to know the exact position of Mars in 250 years, 3 months, 6 days, 4 hours, and 3 minutes. We know where it's going to be. We have that level of accuracy. We can launch something to Mars and say it won't get there for 2 years, but it's going to, and we're within 20 seconds. We're within half mile of our landing. How do they do that? Because we know what the laws are. They are mathematical laws, and the only way to get it wrong is to get the math wrong. Everywhere in the universe, every molecule starts on fire at the right temperature. Things freeze at the right temperature. There are laws in effect everywhere in the universe except for one place. And this has to do with the human heart. You are the only thing in the universe that can say no to God. It's amazing. So when it comes to free will, this is the argument. And you can see 20 videos on this from respected physicists who say, everything in the universe obeys the laws. Now, they don't call them the laws of God, but the laws of nature are the laws of God. The speed of light is the law of God, right? It's not the law of Mother Nature. It's the law of Father God. So the physicists will tell you that because everything in the universe obeys the laws, that even inside your mind, the choices you make, the chemical neurons, the things that fire are all predetermined. You have no free will. That's the argument, because they see that everything else has to follow the laws. When an airplane loses its engine, can you predict what's going to happen? Yes, it lost its engine. It's going to land. I promise you, because it's going to obey the laws. But when you come to the laws of God, watch this. The child is dead. Jesus said, no, she's sleeping. Ha! No, she's dead. There's a higher law. There's a law of gravity that brings everything down, but there's a law of life in Jesus Christ that overwrites the law of gravity, just like the law of lift. Airplanes don't fly by magic. They fly because they have a higher law than the law of gravity. It creates a low-pressure area over the plane, and that causes the plane to be lifted up. It's not magic. It's science. It's physics. It's the laws of God. And when it comes to spiritual things, we are under the law. We are under the law. But there's a higher law of life in Jesus Christ that overrides all of those things. And that's actually the answer, which we don't like, but it is the answer. Why is there so much evil in the world? Because God said, I will give you free will. Choose you this day. And last thing I'll say before I give this to Pam. Make your calling an election sure. What's an election? An election is when, how many votes do you get? One. Right? When it's time to vote, we all get one vote. You don't get to vote three. You get one vote. And that vote is either Jesus or it's to reject Jesus.
You know, one of the things about choice is whatever situation you're in, especially if you're in a difficult situation, you have the ability to turn that around today, immediately, by choices you make. Even right now in your mind, you may be saying, I need to turn my life around. I have not done what I'm supposed to do. I have not honored God. You can turn it all around because of his great mercies. You can choose. God has given us. And I love what Pastor Ken said about the law. Do you know that Jesus was always in trouble for doing what? Oh, the law says you can't heal on the Sabbath. Excuse me? I am Jesus, and I am the law. I am the lawmaker, and I can be the lawbreaker. I go above. I am far above the law. You know, that the law says that we must die. That's the punishment for sin, that you have to die. But Jesus is above the law of love. And I love that about our God. And if he chose me, I definitely am going to choose him. But in the Bible, first of all, I want to say this. I personally have never met anyone in my life who came up to me and said, I really have served God for many, many years. And I'm tired of it. He hasn't done what he said he's going to do. He hasn't been good. He hasn't been kind to me. I've personally never met a person who said, I totally regret serving God. I just think it was a waste of my time. I'm sure there are people out there. But I want to tell you, the examples we draw from are the Word of God, not even one another. I love that in the book of Ruth, I see that Naomi told Orpah and Ruth four times, 1, 2, 3, 4, you can go back home now. Go back home. And she said something else. You can go back and serve your other gods. That's what she said. You could go back to your family and idol worshipers and that place. You can go stay at that place. She said it four times. So she would know. And guess what? 50%, one out of two, Orpah went back. And you never again hear from her. Not one thing about her story. As far as her story, it ended when you go back to idol worship. Ruth was grafted into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Straight from Moab, people. Straight from Moab. Do you understand that Jesus will take you in straight from Moab? Right from where you're at? And you know, I could tell people all day long, and by the way, I never do this, ever, ever, ever. I'm never going to tell you. I'll tell you, make better choices, but I'm never going to tell you, make better choices. Let me explain. I want to get you to make the best choice, not better choices. It's not going to help for you to do better. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to get my life a little more organized. I'm going to go to church a little more. No, the best choice is the choice to serve Jesus, not a better choice, a best choice. Choice. And I also want to say about making choices, because we make thousands of choices a day, not hundreds, thousands, little choices, teeny choices, good choice, this way, that way, drive this way, do that, go here, walk this way, talk about this, say this, don't say that. I want to remind us all that I put this in my notes, 9 times out of 10, the person responsible for my brokenness and the heartache and the pain in my life is, and the hell on earth is me. But I'm going to kind of go with more than maybe 10 out of 10, that the choices I make. Now, I know other people affect our lives, but they can't control our life. So if my life is in a mess, it's not them. It's not them, because they can't control my life. They can affect me, but they can't infect me, if that makes sense to you. But as a normal rule, and this is so simple, if you do wrong, things go wrong. If you transgress God's law and don't obey, things go wrong. You're always going to struggle. You're always going to be in deep water, in a crisis of some kind. But Christ is greater than your crisis. And if we do right, but let me say something, let me say it another way. If we do what is right and righteous, things are going to go well for us. I feel like I have a very, very, very blessed life. I talk to people all day long. I'm with people, and I am blessed. Even in the store last night, I was talking to a young Muslim girl and just, you know, developing a relationship. I talked to one of the managers of the store, and I found out her story that she's had, you know, had a broken arm and she had a new hip and all. You develop relationships with people. Those are choices you make, or you blow your life up. But it is time for us to choose. People are asking, do you want revival? Let me tell you just, I'm going to tell you one take on the revival real quick, because I believe revival is a choice we make. It does, and I'm going to say this, and this is no condemnation, so don't, you know, take it as a challenge, okay? People say, why did the revival break out at Asbury, the Christian college, and why did it break out at Lee, the Christian college? Let me help you out. They're seeking Jesus at those places. So does it surprise you that God would visit? Or do you think that God's going to visit a place where no one really cares? No one's really praying. No one's really seeking Jesus. We need to seek his face. And I love something else about the revival. Talk about choices. That God has made some choices. He's not showing himself in the old manifestations, in the old, like, there's people laying on the floors and all kinds of. You know what? I think there's a reason for that. He wants us to seek his face and not what he does. Don't look for smoke. Look for Jesus. If smoke comes, fine. If joy comes, fine. But the word of God says, seek his face. And that's a choice that I'm making. You know, someone said, well, you need to choose Jesus. And people say, well, I chose Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I chose Jesus too. Do you want to know when? This morning when I got up. And I'll choose him again this afternoon and tonight. And keep choosing Jesus.
Ooh. Yes, I agree with what you're saying. And it's got to be, Jesus said, I have this against you. You've lost your first love, that first passion. That in our churches, I've seen the two things that break my heart is someone that loves God more than me, because it challenges me. It's like, whoa, they really love God. What's wrong with my game? Or someone that doesn't love God at all. It's like that bothers me. That bothers me too. And there's too many churches that have become some. The message is no longer about the cross. It's no longer about the Holy Spirit. It's no longer about Jesus. I actually heard people talking about this church is a Democratic church and this church is a Republican church. This church is a supporter, and they're talking about which man they support. And you hear these messages where the pastor is all talking about a person. It's become, we've replaced our Lord and Savior Jesus with some politician who's not going to save us. So our first love, and what I like about getting lost, because if you're here today and you're like, I've gotten lost on my path to God, I love that the navigation systems reroute you. When you miss that turn, and it'll say, okay, now do a U-turn. Now turn around. And it'll keep rerouting you. And I'll give another airplane example. There's all these navigation systems in an airplane. There's all these different signals you can follow. But probably the most reliable one is the GPS, because it's, you know, it's. And in the planes, that the new systems, you have green when you're following radio signals on the earth, but when you're following the GPS, it's a red line. And so I always think, when I really get lost, follow the red line in the Garmin 1000. Follow, because you can get so off course, you can say, I am so confused. It's like, just follow the red line and it'll bring you home. That is a sad story, that Oprah, she went back. But Pam, I think she had regret. I think every day of her life she thought, what would have happened if I had went with that woman who served God? What would have happened? And, of course, we know what happened. Like you said, she's now in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, most of my life, the story of Jacob and Esau, which Pam's been preaching on Monday night, how stupid is it to sell a birthright for a bowl of soup? Yep. I mean, I don't care if it's the best clam chowder. I don't care how good it smells. You are trading your birthright. So I used to be very critical of that stupid decision until I realized something. most Christians do the same thing. We trade in holiness and Jesus Christ for the world says, hey, you want to just come out and party? You just want to come out and do worldly things? And we're like, that looks good. That smells good. I think I'll dip my foot in that. And it's a choice we make. It's love for the world. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. You can't be married to the devil and Jesus at the same time. So in our life, either Jesus is Lord, which means he's in control, or he's not. He either is Lord or he is not Lord. And everyone in the Bible, almost everyone in the Bible, got themselves in serious trouble. David with Bathsheba. And we see that he lost his holiness. We see that he committed murder to cover this up. But even for David, there was a GPS. There was a road back. And the Bible has not left us in the dark about so many things. Like, for example, you could say the Bible's confusing because I don't understand all the revelation things. Fine, that part is confusing. That part is difficult. But the things that really matter, you can't say the Bible's so confusing. Is the Bible confusing about sexual purity, or is it super clear? It's super clear. So all things that pertain to life and godliness, it is clear. And we've got the Ten Commandments as a beginning spot. But the main thing is this. You're here by choice today, and I know that no one here came to hear me. They didn't come to hear Pam. They didn't come for the food. You came for the reason I came. Because this is God's house, and I'm hoping to connect with God. I'm hoping I can touch him or he can touch me. I don't really care which. I just want to connect with God. We do make hundreds of choices a day. You made a good choice today. But our marriage to Jesus is not a forced marriage. It's, will you marry me? And like Frida said a couple of years ago, she was talking about marriage, and she said that the thing about marriage is that when you get married, the wife takes the name of the husband. We're married to God in Jesus. We have taken his name.
It is so important to make the choice for Jesus first and to make it every day consistently. It's also important for us to choose daily to follow the word of God too and to do what God, he says, if you love me, if you've made that best choice, you are going to keep my commandments also. So when you ask someone, how do I know I really love God? Are you keeping the commandments of God? Are you making a choice to keep his commandments? I believe it is very, very dangerous to continually reject God. Nobody's going to say, I hate God, I reject God. But watch this. In being disobedient to God, in not loving others, in not forgiving, and doing what God has told you to do, you are rejecting God and his commands. And it is very dangerous, I'm going to say this, to get to the point that the Holy Spirit has departed and you cannot even be reached by the Holy Spirit. And how do I know this can happen? There's a man in the Bible named King Saul, and the Holy Spirit departed from him. The Bible says it. If you push God away long enough, he will not trouble you anymore because you've made that clear decision. He reached a point of no return, not because God would not have accepted him back. He would have, but because he came to the point where he made a decision to reject God. We need to daily make that decision to honor God. And I want to say something else. Do you know that the cross does not eliminate, listen to me clearly, does not eliminate the consequences of your sin or transgression of God's law. The cross does not eliminate the consequences, so you might consider making godly choices. What the cross does is eliminate the punishment of sin, which is death and hell. It doesn't take away the consequences, it takes away the punishment. And I can prove that also. King David, he repented of his sin. King Saul never did. King David repented of his sin with Bathsheba. He repented of the sin of murder, but the child died God forgave him. He is now reunited with their child. But the child died because he committed that sin. It does not remove the consequences of our sin. It just removes the punishment of our sin. It is so important because the Bible is filled. We have no excuse, by the way, because we have the Word of God. If we didn't have the Word of God, you might have a leg to stand on. You don't, because we have the Word of God. God has actually provided us a list of right choices. What are you talking about? Where's the list? Well, let's start with the beginner's list. The 10 commandments of God. They are not old-fashioned. They are not outdated whatsoever. I'm telling you, God has a list. He tells us that we choose and choose you this day. He tells us to choose life over death. You choose death or life. You get to choose blessings or cursings. Don't come to me, sister, brother, and tell me, I don't have no blessings in my life. I'm like, boy, you've been choosing wrong, honey, because you get to choose blessings or life. When we choose Jesus and choose to love, honor, and obey Jesus, it will change you. Here, let me read you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. They're gone. That old life is no more. It died. Behold, all things have become new. To choose Jesus will change you. To have an encounter with God will change you. Well, God's not encountered me. Yes, he did, the cross. Yes, he did. He reached out to you. God reached out to you. He reached his arms out on the cross, and he let them put nails in them, so he was reaching out to you when he did that. We need to reach back and say, now, I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. I can tell you the times I encountered God. I encountered God over there. I encountered God over there. I encountered God under a tree. In my yard. I encountered God in my den. I have encountered God in the car because we choose. We're making a choice. And let me tell you, when you make a choice, I wanna talk about Daniel for one half a second here. Daniel is one of my favorite characters of the Bible because he made a right choice at a young age, about 17, that he was going to serve the Lord and that he was going to honor God in all his decisions, even in what he ate. I'm not going to eat that if it doesn't honor God, if it would displease God. He made those decisions, but he did it under adverse situations. So I'm talking to you who are going through hard times. You've got people against you. You've got haters come out. Your family ain't in order. You can still choose to serve God like Daniel, even in captivity. And here's what happened to Daniel. You may say, so what? Daniel chose to serve God. It saved his life. Wait a minute. When the hungry lions were there and should have eaten him, they made a choice not to. Let me tell you something. It can save your life. Even the sorcerers could not stop him, could not kill him. You know, when we have to hide God's word in our heart, I choose God by what I have in my heart, by what I say. You know, I remember my dad. I'm going to repeat my dad for the billionth time. Dad, I'm going to repeat you if you're watching up in heaven. He said to me one day, you make every decision in life projecting 20 years ahead. You ask yourself, how's this going to affect me? At the time, we were talking about the sin of abortion. Choose right now. Right now, you're a young mother. Right now, you're not married. Right now, you got to face your friends and family. But 20 years from now, you may be on your feet and you may be wealthy. You need to choose now how it will be 20 years. But I have revised his message. I want to make every decision not looking 20 years ahead, looking 20 million years ahead. How will this affect my eternity for me to choose this sin today? Will it grieve the Holy Spirit? I want to make right choices and righteous choices.
God's loyal to us too, which is nice. Isn't it nice to have a friend that's always going to be loyal? Praise God for that. By the way, we need to be edifying one another. Yeah. I have made a commitment to do for the people in this church to do nothing but to see the good and to pray for them. I will not listen to anyone telling me about someone else, because you say, but it's true, we need to accuse them. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. We're there to minister grace and love. You need to make that commitment. I heard this simple saying, anyone that would talk about you is not your friend. Simple, right? Anyone that would talk about you is not your friend. We need some loyal friends. But that's the thing about Jesus. No one likes to be rejected. Jesus doesn't reject you, which amazes me that Jesus would choose me. I could see why he would choose someone talented, someone with charisma. But why would Jesus choose broken down me? The reason that makes us, that we say, why would God choose us? Maybe we don't even believe that God loves us. Maybe we think God has to love us because he has to love the whole world. But so he loves me because he has to. He's contractually obligated to love me. Because we think like the world. Tell me that the world only loves people if they're rich and talented. How many superstars do you know? How many singers do you know that get gigs that they can't sing at all? The world doesn't want to hear them. You go on Dancing with the Stars, you better be able to hoof it. People better go, that's a good dancer. Uh-huh. And they bring them in and they vote for them. But I guarantee you, if you can't dance, you're off the show. If you can't sing, you're off the show. If your name is Babe Ruth, and everywhere you go, tens of thousands of people sign up for an autograph. This is true. When he got older, like everyone, he lost that ability. So he was playing baseball when he should have not been playing baseball. Do you know what the fans did to the most loved player in baseball? His fans. He would strike out and the whole stadium would be filled with boos. They were booing Babe Ruth. They didn't love Babe Ruth. They loved the guy that hit the home runs. They didn't like the guy that struck out. God loves you the way you are. That's amazing. It's the Dave Reaper story. He was a Vietnam veteran. He shared this. And he pulled out a canister grenade called a phosphorus grenade. Phosphor burns even underwater. It's really hot. This thing blew up in his face, this grenade, this phosphorus grenade, and just tore away skin. It was disgusting. It was awful. He lost fingers. He was in the burn unit, almost dying, with the rest of the soldiers in the burn unit. Because they were all burned, there were soldiers they were wrapped up. His face was wrapped up. And what he saw, this is what he said. He saw a woman come in to visit one of the soldiers. And she went to the burn unit, and the soldier she was visiting was, she was married to him. And he was completely burned. He was completely deformed. And she took off her wedding ring and she said, I'm sorry, I just can't do this. We always say that what true love isn't two 20-year-olds that love each other. It's when you see a 70-year-old man pushing his wife in a wheelchair. That's true love. That's a picture of Jesus in you. That when you get broken down, Jesus doesn't trade you in for someone younger. I had a friend, a good friend, told me, he said, I just want to be a man of God for my wife. He says, I want to be a leader in my family. And I was, again, I'm challenged by people. I went, oh, that's amazing. He's a husband. And then a few months later, he found a younger, prettier, and he left his wife for the younger, prettier. That's not our relationship with God. He chose you, and we chose him on the cross. We chose him when the world says we don't like Jesus. We chose Jesus, who's the man of shame. Oh, you're not one of those Christians, are you? Yes, I am. I love Jesus. I've chosen Jesus. Jesus is my future. I'm a sucker for dog videos of rescue dogs, you know. And they, so one of the videos, they went to rescue a dog that the dog's entire life, listen to this, the dog's entire life was chained with this big chain, a heavy chain. He was chained to a tree stump, not even a tree for shade. It was a stump that somehow they tied this chain to. And he was, and where there had been grass under the tree had been cut down. Now there was no grass. And because the dog lived there 12 months out of the year, the grass had just, it was all mud. The dog was living in mud, and I guess they would feed the dog, but that was it. He wasn't in the house. He wasn't a pet. They didn't love the dog. And then someone came and rescued the dog. That's a picture to me of us, that we're in a position that we're not loved and we're chained. We feel chained. We may be eating. Someone may be feeding us, so we're not starving to death, but we don't feel loved. We don't feel like we're part of a family. But that rescue video, you see the after. You see the before, this sad dog. And then you see someone that loves them unconditionally, and all of a sudden he's running around the house and he's happy. That's what God does for us. I'll turn it back to Pam.
It's so true. You've seen it with babies in hospitals. They've done those studies where they have newborn babies where they'll have some and they'll love them and rock them and hold them, and then the other babies just leave them, and they do not thrive. They begin to lose weight. They begin to cry all the time, and eventually they quit crying because no one's coming. And, you know, thank God that Jesus came. You know, one of the things we're going to close out with this and pray is, in choosing Jesus, we also do have to choose to honor him in the little things that we do. I read a thing that said, dear friends, you will meet a lot of people throughout your life. If you cannot help them, at least please don't hurt them. If you can't help somebody, or if you choose not to help somebody, please just don't hurt them. Leave them alone so the rest of us can get to them and help them. One of the things I noticed about when you take a medical oath, the one thing that they have you say is, do no harm to no one. You know, that's an oath we need to take. I'm not going to hurt somebody. If I can't help them, I may not can. You may not can. You may not be able to help everyone. But don't do them any harm. You know, it's so many people think that they're so spiritually high that they can tell other people, oh, you know, God doesn't love you and God's disappointed in you. You're going here and you're not going to make it. And, you know, who do you think you are? You know, God loves. His name is love. And, you know, you may feel when you hurt somebody, let me say this. Whether it's by excluding them, overlooking them, not inviting them, choosing not to call them. When you hurt someone, I'm going to tell you something. You may feel a temporary satisfaction when you mock them, but that's short-lived, and it's from the pit of hell. When you hurt somebody, let me say it like this. You do damage to your own soul. I walk away from people who are angry and mocking, and, you know, when you think you're hurting them, can I give you a message? You're not hurting them. When you're excluding them, when you're jealous, you're rude, you're angry, they don't care what you think about them. You're hurting yourself when you hurt other people. You're hurting your own soul. It's heartbreaking to think that you would be the cause, that I would be the cause of someone else feeling neglected, not loved, not wanted, worthless, when we could be the one who tells someone, Janice, all your dreams are going to come true. God sees you. He loves you. He sees every prayer. You're the one we come to. You're the one we ask. Late last night, I was just crying out to God, and I was saying, Holy Spirit, help me. I was in horrible pain just last night. Who did I call? I called Janice. I called Janice. I said, Janice, it's time to pray. I need you to pray. we can help one another. We can be there for one another. Those are choices. And one last thing, if you need to know, how do I act being a Christian? How should a Christian act? 1 Corinthians, love is kind, love is patient. It is not jealous or boastful or proud. It is not rude. It does not bear false witness. Love, love, that's where you go to in Jesus' name.
So the revelation that God actually chose you, he chose you. Out of everyone, he chose you. I like to say it like this, because you're adopted, right? We're all adopted by God. Imagine that you're an orphan, which you were, and your legal father, if you looked at your birth certificate, was Satan. You're of your father, the devil, with the sin nature. You're unwanted. You're in a family that no one wants you. That's why you're in this orphanage. Imagine being in an orphanage with hundreds of other children, and there's ugly old you. No one's going to want you. Look at the cute babies over there. They're going to get picked. Look at that little girl. She's going to get picked. Look at that little boy. He's going to get picked. You're going to always be an orphan. And one day, here comes this incredibly successful, kind, rich family looking to adopt. And they overlook everybody and they go, this is the one. I want you. I want you. Why? Don't ask me why. I don't know why Jesus loves us. He just does. But the idea that he chooses you, get that in your mind. He chose you. Let's look at Ruth. Boaz was not a young man. Boaz was older. She chose him just like you choose Jesus. You say, well, I got other choices that are they're right here. And Jesus is in heaven. You can choose Jesus. Look at what Boaz did. He could have had anyone, but he chose this outsider. He chose her. We choose Jesus. We make that decision. And here's the thing. God will never leave you. God will never trade you in. He's not going to say, I got a better offer. He's never going to leave you for something else or someone else. We're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to choose Jesus today. I love what Pam said. When did I choose Jesus? She didn't say it was 30 years ago. She said she chose Jesus this morning. Because the Bible doesn't say, choose you 20 years ago, who you will serve. Choose you today. Today is the day of salvation. Faith is now. And it doesn't matter if you're off course. Hit your God, your GPS, and follow the red line. You have to make a decision about Jesus. When you go before the judgment seat of God, it won't be your acts and deeds that are judged. The question is, what did you do with Jesus? Will you go with this man? Will you marry this man? Again, as Tommy Tenney said, Jesus isn't looking for a girlfriend. He's looking for a lifetime relationship, a lifetime commitment. The question this morning the Holy Spirit would ask is, will you go with this man? And I want to point out that when, I believe it was it Rebecca that was asked that question? They were telling her all about Isaac, and they were telling her all about how he was kind, how he was rich, how he was amazing. We haven't seen Jesus, but we're telling you about him. He's amazing. He died for you. He loves you. He chose you. He adopted you. It's great that he chose us, but that's halfway. I have a friend that fell in love with a girl and went and bought her an engagement ring, and she never was looking at him. She never thought about him. The answer was, no, I will not go with you. No, I'm not interested in you. It's great that Jesus is interested in you, but what's your answer? You might say, I've got these bowls of porridge that are coming in every day. I trade in my birthright because serving Jesus is tough because not everyone serves him, and it's embarrassing because he's a man of shame. If we're ashamed of him, we can't be ashamed of him. So we're going to make that prayer today. It's a prayer of salvation, but it's a salvation today. Don't rely on the fact that you chose Jesus 30 years ago. Because Satan would say of you, just like he said of Job, they only serve me because it's convenient. They only serve God because God blesses them. They only serve God because there's food and because there's money. But take away anything. Take away the smallest things and they'll walk away from you, God. And God says, wait a minute. Have you considered my servant, Alan? And Satan says, yes, I have. He'll walk away. And God says, he will not. He will not walk. See, God knows you, Alan. God knows you're going to be sitting right there. He knows it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I love that song. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And what's that other verse? You could take this whole world, just give me Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a church, but we also come to you as individuals. We know the sin that's in our own life. We know the lack of fire, the lack of passion. Lord, we repent of sin. We turn from sin. We may be slightly lost. We may be very lost. God, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God that you love us. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God that you chose us. We thank you that you even ask us a question. What do you want? What do you want out of this relationship? Will you go with this man? We know what he wants. So I have free choice today. I could reject Jesus. If God is evil, then that's what I should do. But I can accept him too. I make a choice today of my own free will. I choose the kingdom of God. I choose Jesus. I choose the Holy Spirit. I choose the Father. I choose the angels. I choose heaven. I choose holiness. I choose a future. And I reject the porridge. I reject the things the world has to offer. I reject Satan. I reject sin. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the blood. Jesus is my Lord. And I'm praying to heaven. But hell, listen up. Every demon, Satan, you need to know something. Jesus is my Lord, and he always will be. I choose him from this day forward. No matter what happens, if I'm blessed, I'm going to serve God. If things are difficult, I'm going to serve God. And I know this, that on the last day of my life, the last breath I take, Jesus is my Lord. He's still my Lord. He always will be my Lord. I'm not tempted by the soup because I found something better. I found a future. And Lord, I identify with the cross. I identify with Christianity. I am not ashamed that I am a Christian. I am not ashamed that I belong to him. God, I ask that you would touch hearts, that there would be a revival in every heart. Lord, bring us back the first love. Stir up the fire that's in us. Stir up the passion that's in us. Turn our feelings into a passion for Jesus, a passion for his house. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for giving us a future address. Thank you that we are looking forward any minute now, any day now, that we're going to open our eyes and say, oh, I knew it was going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be this good. That our minds cannot imagine the things that God has prepared for us. What is Jesus saying to the church right now? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be upset. Don't be worried. I have gone to prepare a place and a space for you. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. We belong to him. We have a future marriage. We have a future home. Satan's got a future home too, and I want no part of it. Thank you for our home. Thank you for every person that is here. Lord, bless them. Encourage hearts. Father, I speak against discouragement. Lord, may the joy of the Lord hit our heart. May the hope of heaven hit our heart. May discouragement give way to encouragement. May despair give way to hope. And may a bleak future give way to the Son of God returning in the east in brilliance and in brightness. Lord, we belong to you. Angels, go to that book of life. Look in the bees. Kenneth Bonner Jr., make sure Bud Bonner is in that. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus, your name is in my book. Your name is written on my heart, the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all are dismissed. I would encourage, if you have time tonight, we're going to do half an hour of just worship. And then Pastor Pam says she has a powerful word. So I encourage you to come back tonight, 6:30.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.